Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait.
For his presence upon the earth, we confess our sin before you. We fail in waiting at your goodness for us. We alter in our call to tend to the dream. We find ourselves in self-material wealth. We fear those driven from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us of those times and assure us.
God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins and redeem us for your life of justice, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the lighting of our Advent wreath. These Advent candles remind us of God's love in Jesus Christ. We shall light a new candle each Sunday from now until Christmas. We do this because the old proverb is true. What I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand. The Gospel of Luke speaks about the future. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding. Because our world is full of fear and distress, we light our first candle, trusting that Christ is alive on earth and that the Spirit of Christ lives among us. Living Christ, give us faith to trust you. Continue with the readings.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. The congregation will read the bold print. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Lead me your near truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we misunderstand the purpose and meaning of Advent. It feels like the church can give the vibe that we're trying to be a Scrooge in the midst of the secular culture's celebration of Christmas being in full swing. People hear that this is a season of waiting, and it's like the church is trying to be some kind of sadist, right? Like putting ice cream in front of a child and say, well, don't eat it, just wait. Why put people through such unnecessary torture, especially when people just want to be in a joyous mood this time of year? The church is not going out of its way to be a buzzkill this time of year, but inviting the faithful not to miss what is in front of them when anticipating what to expect in the future. In our psalm today, we heard the words from the psalmist, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust." Rolf Jacobson reminds us that this psalm is not about a single moment in our lives. It's about the totality of our life lived with God. Advent is about our whole life of faith, the whole life of the church, past, present, and future. Which is why we often say that this is not just about an anticipation for the birth of Christ. It's not just about a birthday party, but also for the second coming of Christ. This is also very much an anticipation of Jesus Christ being our future. And again, we speak of the second coming of Christ differently from how many American evangelical Christians speak about the second coming. It's not gloom and doom. It's a truth that brings us hope. All things will be made new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is good news, not a message of fear. Now, part of the reason why I think people want to jump into a full-on Christmas celebration right away is because there's a lot of gloom and doom around us. And we might be wrestling with things in our own lives, and we just need a little happiness. We just need a little something to lift us up, especially as where we live in the world, and as the days are getting shorter and the weather is getting colder, some warm, happy sentiments are welcomed sooner rather than later. Certainly no harm in that. And when there's no harm in that, the church seems to be a little tone deaf, right? When we seem to come across, like, no, don't go to that happy place just yet. So I can understand why it doesn't make sense for some people. But we can be dismayed in the signs of gloom and doom in our world. We could be weighed down and simply feel trapped. And we need an escape, don't we? And it's healthy to get an escape sometimes. But what Jesus is offering us and what the season of Advent really tries to enunciate for us is that we need to be on guard and attentive to the presence of God in our midst and signs of hope that God is pointing us to in the future. We want to avoid, as people of faith, we want to avoid being distracted. We want to avoid the temptation to be numb through the various ways our world tempts us. Because distractions and ways to be numb are ways to escape reality. And if we do that constantly, that's not healthy. See, as Christians, we're not called to escape the world, but to escape the ways of the world. See the difference? We're not called to escape the world, but escape the ways of the world. We're very much called to be engaged in the world, but we first and foremost, as people of faith, find our hope, rest, and our meaning in Jesus Christ. Willie Duane Francois III, reflecting on Paul Tillich's concept of Jesus being a new being, centers our Christian life in our sense of eternal life being now, that it offers us a resilient capacity to respond to the contradictions, the insecurities, and the problems cascading toward us. Francois says that to follow the carpenter's teachings means to own the work of justice, and that that happens right here and right now in the midst of a crumbling world. So this is a life and work that we're called to as Christians, not to escape from the world, but to engage the world with that good news. Francois says that we should be empowered by those words of Jesus that we hear here in Luke's gospel, that Jesus' words will never pass away, and that as people of the way, we must respond to life as if now we are greeting each morning with an unequivocal yes to a vocation of liberation for all. Those words, never pass away, should give us all hope, because that's an assurance that God's word and promise to us, and that God's word and promise to all of creation is forever. Think about the words God made to you at baptism, right? When Jesus says, my words will never pass away, marked with the cross of Christ forever, saying that you are beloved child of God, that is forever. That can never be taken away from you. That's the hope we cling to. That's good news. That liberates us right here and right now. So Francois argues that the legacy of the Jesus movement turns our mutual work to liberate the unprotected from violence, and not only to free those who are oppressed, but to free the oppressors from their own privilege and oppression. And so, you see, the selfishness of some Christians when we're reading apocalyptic literature and these prophecies is only to look out for themselves. Where is the emergency exit for me? They treat the world as if it's just something that's completely like, well, why take care of it? Why care for God's creation? It's only a me and Jesus type of spirituality, which is very toxic and not biblical and simply unchristian. We're called to be engaged in this world, engaged in God's creation, and to share God's good news, not just with those who are oppressed, but also those oppressors. So we must be alert. We must be grounded in prayer so that we can have the strength to endure what can distract and numb us to what's happening around us. Because the mission of the church is first and foremost to proclaim the gospel to all creation. We're to share the liberating news and love of Christ in a way that it points to the hope that we have in the Lord. The hope that we have in the Lord in the present, and that liberating love that will reign supreme in the future. Now this goes back to what the spirit of Advent is really calling us to. The church is not trying to be a buzzkill. The invitation is that we're not just finding ourselves doing things through this season, but we're constantly wanting to distract ourselves, to allow ourselves to be distracted, not just from the pain in the world, but when we're distracted and we're numb, we're also distracted from God's very presence in the world, and we're also distracted from God's very presence in our lives. And Jesus' invitation here is to be on guard and to be centered in a life of prayer so that we know that God is with us and that we know and can cling to those promises of what is in store for us in the future. The parable that he shares in Luke's gospel today, that fig tree, Jesus says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. The image of the fig tree invites us to be alert. It invites us to be aware of the ways in which God is present in our lives right now. Not just in the world around us, but our own lives. With all that we may be wrestling and struggling with. Where is God present right now? What's the fig tree in your life? Where are the leaves sprouting in your life? With all that's going around in the world right now, where are the fig trees? Where are the leaves that you can point to that are sprouting? That's the discipline we're calling ourselves to. It's easy to look at the world around us and say, what's happening? Maybe perhaps because of a false nostalgia, but still wondering, how can I escape? How can I just be numb to the turmoil? And we could do the same thing with our own lives. But if we're too busy, we're always going to be trying to find the escapes. We're always going to try to find ways to be numb. And we're always going to try and find ways to cling to a temporary future. Because there's a difference in having hope for the future that's promised for us in Christ and hope for a future that's temporary. A temporary hope that comes and goes, and then we're back to square one. So again, why we're not trying to be a buzzkill. Christmas decorations are going to go up, but what's going to happen? They're going to come down. Christmas music is being played right now, but what's going to happen? It's going to stop. Christmas trees go up, and what's going to happen? They're going to go to the curb. Nothing wrong with those things if they bring you joy. And they bring me joy and my family joy. Don't get into a gotcha moment if you hear Christmas music coming from the parsonage, right? There's a bigger theme going on here. All that stuff is temporary. We're back to square one. Vacations are a great way to escape, right? Not only that, anticipating a vacation is a good way to escape too. But what happens when the vacation ends? We're back to square one. Those things are good and they're healthy. But if all our hope is invested in that, we're back to where we started. So the season of Advent and the witness and ministry of the church is be grounded first and foremost in our Lord and in the hope and the promises that he offers to us. Be grounded in prayer. That is what's going to sustain you, because everything else comes and goes. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Can we embrace the proclamation of the psalmist? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. To see where the fig trees that are sprouting leaves in our midst, see where they are. To know that God is with us and that Jesus Christ is our future, and that we can't just be obsessed with all that's crumbling around us or the temporary futures and hope that we have in. But to even look also collectively as a congregation, where are the fig trees in the life of our church right now? Right? Not what we've lost, not what we used to do, not what we should be doing. What are we doing right now? Where are those leaves sprouting? Be on guard. Be alert. Be centered in prayer. So that as a new being and a new creation in Christ, we know of God's presence. We're centered in that. We have hope in that future, which enables us to embody and to share God's liberating love of Jesus to all people. So that all people might hear and see and trust those very words from the one who say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. God of presence and peace, strengthen your church around the globe to proclaim the message of your love coming to the world. Open our hearts to recognize your face in all people and in all creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our leader, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of mighty redwoods and microscopic plants, fields and city parks, the wind and the waves, be a healing balm to our wounded planet. May we nurture what you have longingly created. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of equity and compassion, bring righteousness and goodness to all peoples of the earth. Give a heart of discernment and integrity to leaders in our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of comfort and care, be present with those who watch and wait. Come to all who await births, deaths, divorces, new unions, new jobs, retirements, healing, in life transitions of every kind. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the friends of our congregation who are unable to join our worship in person and for all who are sick and suffering, especially Phil and Kristen, Edna, Matt, Susan, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Randy, Stan, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Sutton, Nola, John, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. We give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of promises kept and new dreams awakened, shelter your people from destructive storms. We pray for those whose lives have been upended by natural disasters, for the work of Lutheran Disaster Response, Lutheran World Relief, and other relief organizations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of companionship and community, we give you thanks for the saints who journeyed with us and now abide in you. Even in distress and uncertainty, make us confident that your promises endure forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you.
departed from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, you comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit to come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward communion assistants and those who are going to participate in Children's Church. They can come up for a blessing or to receive the sacrament before they go off to Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuously. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations of wine. But if you desire grape juice, that will only be offered on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cup. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
For whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Son and Lord.
Amen. We have any announcements for the good of the community. Steve.
Just real quick, the offering envelopes for 2022 are on the table in the narthex next to the Christmas tree. If you don't see yours there and you wanted one, let me know. I'll make you out one. And if, conversely, I made you out one and you didn't want any, well, let me know so I can cross you off the list.
Ned?
This evening, Marian Civic Chorus is going to present Handel's Messiah with orchestra and guest soloists. It's at Epworth Methodist at 7 p.m., if anybody's interested.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
Sing.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.